You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
I was going to say, she's going to try to sleep with you and your wife. If I am also unhinged, and yeah. If I know anything, she's going to try to sleep with you and your wife. It's going to be bad.
You're like when the cops recruit a former, a reformed criminal to help catch the current criminals. Then they're like, take a deep drag of their cigarette. Like, here's what I would do.
Yeah.
This is how you'll catch your perp.
Oh my God. I'm much less messy now, I swear.
I'm dyking out, you're dyking out. Let's dyke out together, see what it's all about.
Dyking out, dyking out, dyking out, dyking out.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast that may or may not have willed Miley Cyrus's and Caitlin Carter's sexy post-divorce Italian vacation into existence. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
And I'm Sarah York.
And today we're dyking out with comedian, musician, rock goddess Tessa Scara about ex-husbands.
Yeah.
Woo! Love this topic! Live for this. Thank you for being vulnerable.
Very much so.
Tessa has performed all over the country and at the coolest venues in New York City, recently headlining Caroline's on Broadway with her rock cabaret, Rock Goddess. You can also see Tessa on Crashing, The Detour, and upcoming episodes of High Maintenance on HBO and Little America on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And best of all, she's Canadian.
Yeah, yay, baby.
We love Canadian guests. I think you're like number 9.
Really?
Maybe? Yeah.
Lots of queer Canadians.
There are. I mean, there's not a lot to do up there.
Yeah.
All we do is explore our sexuality.
Yeah, oh, God, I wish. Yeah. That would have been great.
Quick announcement. Our next Stonewall show is August 26th. The lineup for that is Wanchiko Eke, Chewy May, Melody Kamali, and then future guests of the podcast, Kate Willett and Samantha Ruddy. So there should still be tickets available. Go to dykingout.com/events. I've also mentioned that I'm going to be doing some stand-up on the West Coast. I have a couple of LA dates, a bunch of shows I'm doing in Portland. Still waiting for Chicago dates, but check my website, cbcomedy.com. And that's it for announcements. I saw a musical that I want to talk about.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so The Prom just closed on Sunday. It's run, but I knew there was like a lesbian element, but I didn't realize it's like a very, like the lesbian is like one of the central characters of the show. And I've never related more to a show. Mm-hmm. And I had to try very hard not to cry because I don't like to cry in theaters.
Right.
I like to save it for when I get home.
Obviously. And, yeah. Very healthy.
Yeah.
Keep it in.
Yeah, keep it in.
Until it's safe. Yeah. Years you can wait.
I don't know when that started for me because I feel like...
Oh, I think it starts pretty early.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I used to cry at the movies. But now I'm like, I refuse.
The first movie I ever cried in was Beaches.
I felt
terrible about crying. I had to run to the bathroom to cry.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to, I'd never wanted to cry in front of people because I was like the oldest child and I always wanted to be like very stoic. But yeah, Beaches like ripped my fucking heart out.
I was the oldest child too. And I was the one, I remember when we went and saw Mighty Joe Young as a family. My brother got so freaked out that he like ran screaming. Yeah, it's like the one with like the huge gorilla.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. And I remember the lead female character, very hot. I don't remember who it is.
Very hot. Who was that? Wasn't that, I was thinking of Meet Joe Black. Never mind.
That was Claire Forlani.
Oh, it was Charlize Theron, wasn't it?
Was it Charlize Theron?
Yeah.
Well, again, we just love people who look like us.
Right, seriously.
All I want to do is fuck a mirror, but that's a long time to figure out, no? But I remember watching that and my brother like running out screaming and crying and me being like, I'm going to sit here and watch it because I'm an adult. And I was like, I don't know, 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was Charlize Theron and the late Bill Paxton was in that one too.
Wow.
And I loved Bill Paxton. He's a big Twister fan.
I always forget
speaking
he's
of
dead.
Root, Helen Hunt and Twister. Oh.
Yes.
Oh my God.
She always had such good shirts.
Oh God, it was the flannel shirt tied around the waist.
Yeah.
So hot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely
amazing.
Lesbian vibes.
Ugh. Totally. Like any scientist I'm into.
Oh yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Coats.
Yeah.
Part of my sexuality is coats. Any woman who's an expert.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, explain you something to me.
Know
yeah. Ooh, a seismologist. Yeah. Hello.
Wow, a made-up form of science that they made for this volcano movie. Please tell me more.
Anyway, you like the musical.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Yeah.
So what happens in it? What's the lesbian content?
So it's about
is it gay prom or... straight prom.
Well, it's a straight prom in Indiana, and this lesbian wants to bring her girlfriend to prom, and they decide to cancel the prom. I think this is like a rip from the headlines type thing.
Mm-hmm.
They decide to cancel the prom instead of allowing a gay because they can't just like ban her from going. And then the whole plot of the thing is like a bunch of Broadway actors who just like had their show canceled and they're getting panned and people say they're unlikable. So they're like, let's take up a cause. And they read this thing where like, we're going to make this lesbian go to prom. So they fly to Indiana and like take up this cause. And it's like all this lesbian wants is for her and her girlfriend that she's been with for like a year and a half to be able to go to prom together. And her girlfriend's mom is like the head of the PTA and the one who's spearheading all of this.
Okay.
And like
the one who's spearheading the cancellation.
The cancellation.
Wow.
The villainous
mom.
She,
yeah, because she's not out. And it's like this the main gay girl, she like was kicked out of her parents' home and like lives with her grandma ever since she came out. And I don't know, she's just like so endearing and
yeah,
like
cool.
Like just it's just like such a beautiful, simple, like I just want to go to prom like everybody else. And
I
it made me think about
I didn't want to go to prom.
Yeah,
I would have loved for it to get canceled because of some gay kid in my class.
I
that would have taken a lot of anxiety off my shoulders.
I didn't want to go to prom, and when like my senior prom was going on, I had a girlfriend and I couldn't go with her because she was like very closeted and like I don't know, you know, how she identifies now, but like she would have never gone with me. It like wasn't even a question that she would come with me to prom. So I had to like go with my like friend's boyfriend's best friend.
Yeah, there's always like a tag along guy that would go with me to prom.
Yeah, it was like the tag along guy, and it was like, well, it makes sense. We'll all be in the same limo, whatever. But then like he thought that I had a crush on him, which I made it like very clear that I didn't. And then he also like I think had a girlfriend and was like on the phone with her the whole time. During prom,
okay.
He was like in a corner on the phone. It was really weird. So I ended up spending all prom dancing with like this very gay guy who didn't know that he was gay. And was like, I love the ladies.
Everyone else did. Yeah.
It took him years to come out.
Gay guys really shined at prom. That was like their time to
like
like little closeted gay boys were like, finally. Like,
and I'm going to wear a colorful vest.
Yeah.
And a colorful tie.
It was so sad, like that, though, like I got ready for prom and was like hanging out with my girlfriend like secretly beforehand and then had to like leave her to go take prom pictures with this
Did
dude.
Did she also go to prom?
Yeah, I don't remember.
She went with somebody else too?
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
That's so hard.
I know, it's such a bummer.
I went with my high school boyfriend who was like closeted. I don't know how he identifies now, gay, queer, but he's also who I lost my virginity to, and we had sex while watching I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
Oh my God.
Which is a very homophobic film.
Yeah. Wow.
So I'm just saying the repression runs very deep.
Yeah, it's very
deep. I understand like going home to cry.
Yeah, totally.
Wow.
You really just don't want Adam Sandler anywhere in the room during that.
No. Oh, no, I don't think it's Adam. Is Adam Sandler?
It's Chuck and Larry.
It's Kevin James.
Kevin James.
Oh, I didn't even remember Adam Sandler. I just remember Kevin James because he was such a trigger to me.
Yeah.
I remember watching King of Queens. Honestly, I feel like that's why I got married to a man was because I was like, oh, everybody hates their husband.
Watching King of Queens,
I'm like, all men are trash and all women are perfect goddesses, but we put up with them because that's what you do.
Yeah.
Is that Married with Children?
Married with Children. What a pairing. Well, every show. Every show with that guy,
Sophia
even like Begara, animated show, like The Simpsons, for God's sake, like Marge really had it together.
Marge
Homer
is hot.
Was just an absolute loser. Marge. Lois and Peter and Family Guy, the whole thing.
Yeah,
that totally makes sense. Mm. I had a huge crush on Leah Remini in King of Queens because she played Stacey Carosi in Saved by the Bell.
Yes,
did she?
Yeah,
she
in
did.
The summer episodes.
She was in Saved by the Bell.
She. In the summer episodes, they went to work at some like resort, like beach resort or something.
And
her dad owned the resort. Yeah. So her dad was like the boss and he was always yelling at the kids. And she was in that role. She was Stacey Carosi. She was like the hot daughter of the
And she
boss
was stern
guy.
And like any, like her and Jesse Spano, yep. like yeah. any serious, like slightly bitchy women. Like I was
they
so
totally,
into.
I know. I totally
yeah,
wanted
that
them to
That red is
a couple.
Queer.
Yeah.
Yeah. For
that always
sure.
read as queer.
Mean girls.
I know. Boss me around.
Boss me. I don't know what I'm doing.
I crave structure.
Daddy, I need structure. Daddy, I told you that I need structure.
She's a seismologist.
Oh, no, this is going off the rails.
Oh,
already.
I love it.
That's where we belong.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. But that's really, that musical sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it closed on Broadway, so it might be touring. So if it comes to a city near you, I recommend
support.
Checking it out.
Right on.
Support it.
Yeah.
They have these shirts that they sell that say, we're all lesbians, and I kind of love it.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Did you get one?
I think they were sold out of them.
Were they $55 t-shirts?
They are. I looked it up after.
You don't
it's
need
like
a $45
shirt.
Yeah. You have a podcast. You don't need a shirt.
Yeah. I have an enamel pin that says Dyking Out.
Yeah, it's
there
fine.
You go.
That's good enough.
My entire persona is just signaling constantly, so I don't really need that. But.
Yeah.
Oh, so when I was buying the tickets for the prom, I went to TKTS to get a discount, and I was waiting in line, and had a moment that made me just like very thankful that I'm gay, and that also when I have kids, there'll be two moms, and not some dumb dad. Nothing against dads out there, but like a lot of you are dummies. And this guy was with his son. What I was picking up was that he was divorced. His son doesn't live with him. His son's like a 15-year-old teenager, and he doesn't get to see him much, but he was in town on business and convinced the mom to let the son come and they're going to go see a musical.
Oh God.
So I'm like, okay. And he's like trying to sound like he knows like everything about Broadway from his like three visits previously to New York. I'm like, this guy's kind of like a dorky dad, harmless, whatever. Across the street, this woman is parking her car and she's getting stuff out of the back seat and bending over is wearing this like tight white dress. And he's like, hey, check her out. Check out the ass on that woman. To his 15-year-old son, like in this like line that's like families, and I'm like right there.
What a douchebag.
And he's like,
"Ay caramba."
Ew! And like, ew, who and says "Ay caramba"? Did the Simpsons remind you of that?
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes.
So he literally,
I regret building this bridge.
He literally says "Ay caramba," and then he's like, "You're into asses, right?"
What?
And then he goes, "I like big butts and I cannot lie."
No. Oh my God.
That man is gay.
I was going to say, what are you compensating for? Did your son find something on your computer and now you're compensating for it?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like he's compensating for the fact that he's taking his son to see a musical.
Yeah.
He's like, definitely not gay.
Yeah.
Look at the ass on that woman. Like, what the fuck?
I was like, what?
That sucks.
What are you teaching your son? Like, this you obviously don't spend a lot of time with him and you're like, oh, I'm gonna objectify him, and then spent the rest of the time just like dunking on the mom who's not there and
being
like,
a good strategy.
What your mom doesn't understand is, and I'm like, oh my God, like,
ew, this guy's disgusting. I hope this kid knows that and is like, oh, my dad's trash, but he's taking me to a play, which
I hope
fine.
So. Yeah, the other dynamic is that the dad's white and the kid is mixed race.
Yeah.
And like, so
a white man saying "Ay caramba." I knew he was white when you said "Ay caramba."
Yeah, absolutely.
But also feeling like, oh yeah, I'm gonna like try to be cool to my son. I'm not one of those like square white guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool.
I'm not a square white guy. I'm a fucking gross, problematic pervert.
Yeah, right.
Rather be that than some kind of square who doesn't say things like that in public.
No,
gross.
No. I know.
Anyway,
it made me so mad. Yeah.
I'm disgusted by that.
Mm-hmm. More things wrong with straight people. The work wife piece in the New York Times.
I read that.
We all did.
Oh my God. I have so many group texts that just got lit up.
Yeah, I know, right? I had a very long Twitter thread about it.
That's the worst writing I've ever read in my life.
First of all, subject matter aside, that is
atrocious writing.
If anyone out there is like a high school teacher, I want you to tell me exactly what grade level of writing you would assess this as. I'm thinking like 9th grade.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
It was truly, it wouldn't have passed like a senior English essay. It's the most elementary writing. It's horrible. There's a couple sentences in particular, I've got a few screenshots as well, that are just like so bad that I burst out laughing in multiple parts. Aside from that,
it is humiliating for the husband, I feel.
Oh my God.
Not that I'm too worried about him being humiliated, but at the same time, like, imagine after all that, like, the best thing about him is that he wouldn't cheat on me.
Yeah.
What?
No. Oh, yeah.
Are you okay?
Also, this woman is gay. Like, her descriptions of her husband, like, I'm sorry, but the very first sentence of the entire piece, I just found it, is,
"My big handsome husband."
Just before the pizza arrived, my big handsome husband went back to bed. And I'm like, okay, that's your first description of your husband, big?
He's
and she
big.
Also calls him enormous at other points. And I'm like, you and your husband have problems.
Oh my God. And also like,
the whole, like, his laugh pierced me
in the best way.
Yeah. I'm like, no,
oh,
this is gross.
It's so bad.
No.
I definitely knew she was white when she said, my work friends, single women mostly, became a family for each other. And then she said, a girl tribe. I'm like, ooh, don't use that fucking word, please. Stop saying tribe.
Yep.
It's so bad.
Immediately signaled.
Yeah,
also, all the whole like paragraph about this woman's legs, where she's like, and then she would show off her legs, and her legs were there, and I loved her legs, but then she put away her legs, and I'm like, you're gay.
Like, maybe she was just wearing shorts, and it was summer. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't showing you her legs.
The intimacy of eating my fries.
I'm with you. I don't think she's gay.
I think because I have encountered so many women
repressed.
Like this.
I think she's so repressed.
Maybe she's not straight, but I really don't think she's like fully gay. I think she, as someone who has had multiple sexual encounters or other types of encounters with women who are
unhappily
with
married
men or unhappily married. Yes. Not that I'm not proud of this, but anyway, it was a long time ago.
Honestly, I'm proud of you for this.
Thank
but
you.
Go
but
on.
Like, I have experienced this so much where women sort of fetishize butch presenting, like, mask of center women who give them the aesthetics of men without any of the danger associated with men or any of the, like, complication or, like, they somehow in their minds, they play the mental gymnastics where it's not cheating because I'm a woman. You know what I mean? So that's the vibe that I got from this woman. Was like she works with someone, and maybe this woman that she worked with was sort of giving her a lot of this attention intentionally. You know what I mean? Like, well, who doesn't like attention? You know?
Well, and she was feeling it out. Like, I don't know. My first girlfriend I ever had, I met at my movie theater job.
Mm-hmm.
And she was...
Everyone was wearing polos. It was bound to happen.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I was literally just thinking that.
Uniforms. Yeah. Polos, pink and purple uniforms. Walls. It was very gay. Lots
the smell of popcorn.
Lesbians there.
Big bathroom.
Fountain Everything soda. About it. Yeah. Dark theaters.
Darkness.
Hide in. Yeah. Darkness.
Ponytails.
Closets.
You got to wear your hair back.
Yeah.
Literal,
it's food safe.
Literal closets. Literal
yeah, actual closets.
To hide and make out
oh
in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So she was like notorious for doing this thing where she would be like obsessed with like one woman mm-hmm. at a time, give them a lot of attention and make them feel very special. And that other woman, regardless of their sexuality, because a lot of the times they were straight, all of a sudden would like develop this like weird dynamic relationship where they feel like, oh, I'm the special one. I'm
yes.
the chosen one for this time. And that's kind of like what happened with me. But unfortunately, I also turned out to be gay and we started dating. And I think that kind of like lost some
yeah.
of the fun for her.
Yeah. Well, that's, mm-hmm. and I think that's like, might have been what this is, or
that's
this,
what it sounded
this
like
this straight
to me.
Woman yeah. is, you know, kind of flirting and doing all this stuff with this gay woman, and maybe the gay woman thinks like, oh, maybe there's something here. And then after a while she realizes, no, there's nothing there. She just wants
exactly.
the attention. She's
yeah.
with her husband.
Yeah. Yes.
And then she moved on. Like,
yes.
sorry, girl. Like, or she's yeah. completely misinterpreting this woman just being fucking nice to her
yeah.
as being flirtatious or like wanting more. Like she read so much into all of her, like the line where she says like she left her food on her desk and the lesbian
she
ate her fries. And she was like,
a lesbian
like,
ate my fries.
The sign of intimacy. Like, it was so romantic. Like, girl. And I said on Twitter, I was like, partnering with men really has some of you thinking that rudeness is romantic.
Right?
Like, I cannot with you fucking straight women and assuming
yeah.
that every single thing that we do is some sort of flirtatious move.
Yeah.
Because that was like my whole... I've been so conscious of that for so long. Is like, okay, don't be too polite to this woman or she's going to think you're flirting with her. Like,
yeah.
please, ugh. Like, I have to sort of keep some people that I get that vibe from, because that vibe is fucking real and I can sense it a mile away.
Yeah.
In straight, bi-curious women.
Yeah.
Where they will misinterpret even the slightest courtesy from me as some sort of sexual advance or something. So that's the vibe that I got from this woman, and also that she's just like... And she's like a social worker in the mm-hmm. article. She talks about that. And then like
in Arizona.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
God
I'm like,
bless her.
Girl, do you not have a long list of clients that could really use your help right now? But
yeah.
instead you're spending your work day just fucking free, like
reading into the fries,
reading into every tiny movement that your mask presenting coworker is doing. It was just
but
the most exhaustive.
But this is kind of why I feel like she has to be queer deep down.
You think so?
Is because she's like reading into all these tiny things. Like she's blowing up this like
yeah.
non-relationship into something
yeah.
so much so that she's like writing an article for the New York Times.
And that she feels yeah. like betrayed by the end of it.
Uh-huh.
She,
scorned the use
seduced,
of the word scorned.
Use the word fucking seduced.
Scorned.
Then
seduced
sex,
and scorned. No, there's no seduction. There's no scorning
yeah.
in here.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I
there's
was
just on
the benefit of the doubt
of...
that she didn't write the title, but still
yeah.
it's like, and also it's like in the New York Times Modern Love thing, we so rarely get queer stories
yeah.
in there. And of course, the one thing that the straight
Predator
editors
lesbian.
Of the New York Times will pass along as a queer, like, okay, now we're going to do a lesbian one, is still centering a straight woman
yeah.
and her perspective.
Yeah.
I would
and making
love
the lesbian sound like a predator.
Making the, exactly.
Yeah.
Making a mask-presenting woman come off as a sort of man,
a French
manly predator
fry
kind of thing.
Stealing.
Yeah.
French fry stealing.
Dykey
fucking,
bitch.
Yeah.
But she was scorned by her. I have no, there's no
scorned.
Evidence in there of her
no.
being scorned.
Yeah. No.
It sounds
no.
like she just wanted to have like lunch with somebody else at work and this straight woman just took it like fucking way too far and
yeah.
is now with her big huge husband,
enormous piercing husband,
piercing laugh
who loves
oh
ESPN
God.
And eating in
on
restaurants
the wall-mounted TV
her.
I'm like
yeah.
if I needed any more evidence that you guys don't know what the fuck you're doing, you're going to restaurants that have TVs on the wall
yeah.
for your date night.
Well,
like,
it is Arizona
it is Arizona. I will give
I think
them
the
that.
Walls are made of TVs.
I know. It's like a Best Buy in there.
Yeah.
All kinds of varying sizes of televisions on the same channel, with some have a slight delay. Oh my God.
And she's
so
like,
funny.
And all I had to do was talk to him about it. I'm like, this, you are a not healthy person.
The whole thing at the end was like, well, then I communicated with my husband about how I felt and things got better. Like, well, no shit. Yeah. You talked to him. Like,
yeah.
Okay. So this whole thing was for you to get to the point, which was you like the attention that you got from a woman who aesthetically you found pleasing, but would never probably date in real life. Mm-hmm. Like you sort of, so probably she kind of led this other woman on possibly.
That's what I was thinking attention. Too when reading it.
Yeah. And finally the lesbian was like, oh, fuck this. Like, this is not worth my emotional energy anymore.
I got some free fries out of this.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Like, ate her fries, you know, it's, and is probably just not, I don't know, just not into it, or didn't even realize that's what was happening to begin with. I don't know. It's kind of one of those, like, I would love to have her perspective on it, but I did imagine this lesbian getting, like, when the article came out, her group chats were just like blowing up. Like, oh, isn't this that crazy woman you worked with? And she's like, oh, fuck. And it's a whole thing, but
I hope she writes a Medium article.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh, God bless Medium.
I swear someone's going to pick it up and fucking HarperCollins or something is going to give her a book deal. I swear to God. It's going to happen.
No.
Yeah. Ugh. I don't know.
They turned off the comments on it, which I was very upset about. I really just wanted to, like, I don't know, have some fun, wreak some havoc.
Yeah. Man.
The comments on the New York Times articles, I get really mad of what's a New York Times pick. Because I'm like, what?
The pick of the comments?
Yeah. It was like some of them are flagged as like a New York Times pick. And it'll be, I'm like other articles, but they'll pick one that's like, well, we're all ignoring the crimes of Hillary. I'm like, why would you pick that, New York Times? Why is this?
I don't read the that comment section is just a cesspool. It's worse than YouTube.
Yeah.
The New York Times is bad.
I know. I canceled my subscription like two years ago because I couldn't deal with it anymore. I couldn't deal with any more like soft focus profiles of Trump voters. I'm like, this is the end. I'm done. I literally had to call them and cancel it. I told them why.
I had to do that too, and I canceled because they wouldn't use they them pronouns, and now they will on like very like vehement requests, apparently. But they're still like they will not use they them pronouns regularly. And I was like, you know what, I'm done with this. Times, you're not on it.
No, they're not at all. I don't know. I read it and I got these sort of like, I just got this vibe of like I can feel what the mask woman is feeling in those moments of like having this woman like constantly texting you or sort of demanding this. Cause the whole thing about like engaging with women who are in relationships with men as a woman who looks like me is rarely is it like a sexual thing at all. It's not about like flirtation really. It's about emotional energy that they want from you.
Yes.
They want, what they want is,
I can see that,
emotional fulfillment that they're not getting at home or from their partner because they won't communicate about it.
Yeah.
And the feeling of being attractive and wanted because me telling us, you know, like a straight-ish woman, like, oh, you look great, is interpreted differently by her than if it was like a femme-presenting woman that said that to her or a straight woman that said that to her. So it's about emotional energy. And I, to this day, there are women who pop into my text inbox at about 3 a.m. who I know are married. And are saying like, and just want attention. Like I fucking still get that from people that I haven't seen in years. And there's nothing against that. Like, I'm not upset at these people at all, but it's a fucking thing. It's a thing to get a message at like 1:30 in the morning as a masked woman from some girl you made out with fucking 7 years ago. Who's like, I miss you. It's like,
no!
Girl, can you fucking just talk to your husband? Like, I can't.
You miss the idea of me. You do not miss me, bitch.
You don't miss me. It's
fix your problem.
There is, and it's like, and I, of course I care about these people, but I'm not here for that for you, you know, like that's not, I don't exist to be your emotional, like, I don't exist to step in to give you like an infusion of emotional validation when your partner is not giving you that. That's not why I'm here. Like, you have no idea what's going on in my life. You never ask about me. You always just want me to tell you you're beautiful. And that's what it is. And I've since stopped responding to people that do that. So,
Tessa, when you were married to a man, did you look for emotional validation?
Yeah. How'd that go?
I don't think so. I don't think I searched for, oh my God, I mean, it's so complicated. Are we going to get into it now?
Let's get into it.
Ex-husband. Well, there was one, I mean, there was one thing that I wanted to bring up before this that was topical. Oh. Is that okay?
Yes.
Let's just pretend that transition
that
didn't
transition
happen.
Didn't happen.
Yeah.
But there was, have you guys been watching Are You the One?
No.
No.
Oh my God.
It's, I know it's like a reality show about, it's like a dating show.
So it's a dating show that is all queer people.
Yeah.
So it's a sexually fluid season of Are You the One? And normally they have like 8 men and 8 women and they're all straight and they have to figure out who it is that like matchmaking experts paired them with. And now there's 16 sexually fluid queer people who have to figure out who it is that these like experts paired them with. And it is so much fun.
Oh man, what a 3D chess game.
Yeah. It is amazing. I'm honestly learning so much about dating watching this.
Yeah. How do you watch it?
It's on MTV.
On MTV?
It's on MTV. Okay. I have my ex-husband's dad's login, so you can take that.
Great. Yeah, please share
perfect.
That.
But yeah, it's like truly insane just how you see how all these people are drawn to date people within the house that like trigger them emotionally and like lead them in these circles that they have like kind of, a lot of the people who are in toxic relationships are like, I just feel like I'm replaying things with my ex. And I'm like, oh, hit my head against a wall.
Yeah.
And then like you find out that the person who their perfect match is always the person who they're like, I have like a great like emotional relationship with them, but like I'm maybe not as attracted to them because they don't trigger them in a horrible way.
Wow.
Yeah. But then they like spend more time with them and then they're like, actually, I think you are my perfect match. It is honestly insane.
Wow.
It is. Now I want to watch it. It's teaching. I'm like dating a lot right now. And so it's like teaching me so much about like, no, the people who like emotionally trigger you actually probably aren't good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, nah, you shouldn't keep texting them back. Okay. Yeah. If you feel like emotionally like you're gonna cry or scream every time you talk to somebody, maybe you shouldn't be dating them.
Wow. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because I'm in therapy right now and I'm learning all these things.
It's very much, you guys know about like attachment theories,
secure and anxious and what's avoidant. The other one, avoidant. I know a little bit about that.
I am reading Attached, to the like book about that right now. And I have to read like one chapter and then put it away because it's like too triggering. Wow, this is too much. This is a lot. This is everything.
I used to consider myself avoidant, but now I feel like I'm secure now, but I've definitely had like moments and times in my life where avoidant was like the thing for me. Never, not anxious, definitely more when I was younger, but now I'm just, I don't know, things are better. But once you understand how that works, that's one of those things that you read and you're like, oh, holy shit, this makes perfect fucking sense.
Yeah.
And you think about other people you've known or dated throughout your life and you can kind of pinpoint exactly what that was.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely am more anxious now, and there are different parts of my life where I've been secure and different parts of my life where I feel like I've been avoidant too.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting to read and be like, oh, that's secure. Exactly how You've always been secure?
I think I've always been a secure attachment.
Like?
Just, what the fuck is that like?
Well, like, yeah, serial monogamous, like, you know, jumping into relationships with both feet. But, the thing about cycles and like being attracted and like not even realizing that those things are being triggered, like toxic patterns from the past and the relationships you seek. And my wife thankfully doesn't fit in with any of those patterns. So I feel like I've broken out of it, but then it's also things where sometimes I get like uncomfortable because she's so nice and supportive.
Yeah.
And then that gives me anxiety. I'm like, why are you so supportive?
Yeah.
Of me right now? Or like, what, like, this
like,
is
what's going on here?
Yeah. You're so nice
to me. What's your game?
And you treat me so well. What's going on? Like, I'm used to not feeling this way.
Yeah.
So like, yeah. Trying to.
Yeah. You
know. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
I feel like after I came out is when I became anxious.
Yeah.
Did you come out while you were married?
I was out. Well, okay. So my story basically is that I got married right after college, mm-hmm. and I got married for because of green card.
Well, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
Like I needed to stay in the country. And
this was in the U.S.
Mm-hmm, this was in the U.S. So I went to college in New York and I met my ex-husband there. And when I first met him, I hated him. But that was very normal for men that I dated. Mm. I would it took me so long to come out to myself.
Yeah.
That it was in college, I kind of knew that I was bisexual.
Yeah.
And I would hook up with girls sometimes when I was drunk and be like, wow, this is amazing. And then be like, oh no, you can't do that though. That's not going to work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then when I was in college, I spent a lot of time sleeping around with men, and I would literally go to parties and ask my friends, who do you think is attractive here? Because I couldn't pinpoint who was hot.
Right.
I would be I'd be like, none of these people look like Leonardo DiCaprio at age 18. Yeah. So I don't like any of them.
Right. Yeah.
Who is okay?
Yeah.
I feel like when I was younger, my first attractions towards women were when I was a kid even. And I specifically remember being nope, can't do that. Push that down.
Mm-hmm.
And being attracted to a girl who wore a vest in my tap dancing class.
Yep.
And being I don't like Fiona. I just want to be like her, which is a crock of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I also liked boys though, which I found very confusing. And so I was oh, do that one. That one's good. That'll be fine. And then when I was older, in college, I had my first experience, like, basically, I mean, I hate to use this. I think that if she heard this, it would probably be like, whoa. But I feel like I, like, fell in love with a woman that mm-hmm. I was in a show with. And I was, like, so obsessed with her and, like, thought about her all the time and, like, really wanted to date her. And then she wanted to date my guy friend. After we had, like, hooked up and, like, I thought that we were going to start dating and, like, all of this stuff. And I was, like, finally kind of feeling like I was ready to come out to people and date a woman. And then she rejected me. Oof. And when I was in that phase is when my ex-husband kept on, like, actively pursuing me. And when I was younger, I feel like I just really liked when people pursued me because I was so confused about my own sexuality and what it was that I wanted that I was like, well, you seem like you really like me. So maybe this will work out. And we were only together for like 9 months, not even a year before we got married, which is insane.
Which is a very lesbian thing to do.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
In a hetero pairing, that's insane.
In a hetero pairing, it's nuts.
In lesbian pairing, that's my marriage.
Yeah. Right? Oh, no. Now I would do that. But now I would do that and I would force everyone in my life to tell me that it's healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
But then I was like, oh, no, definitely. I mean, honestly, we got married because I was so concerned about my green card. And I was like, well, I definitely, I will not survive if I go home.
Yeah.
Like, if I go back and live where my family lives, I just felt like I was going to die. And, like, emotionally, I would become so depressed that something bad would happen. And so I was like, all right, I have to stay here. I have to figure this out. And I was going to actually get married to my friend so that I could stay in the country. And then my ex convinced me to get married to him. And at the time, like, I legitimately felt like, oh, yeah, like, I'm in love with you. Mm-hmm. This definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we got married, I was like, oh, my God, no.
Yeah.
Like, I just, as soon as...
You're like, as soon as these papers clear.
Yeah. Well, no, it was more like experiencing... Well, everything changed, like, as soon as we got married. Like, I felt like when we were getting married, I felt like I made it, like, pretty clear that I was like, I'm not sure. Like, I really love you and care about you. Maybe we can look at this as, like, an engagement.
Yeah.
And then we can, like, talk about actually getting married later, but we're going to get... like married at City Hall now.
Yeah, which is something a lot of couples do who need a green card.
Of course,
like they'll get married early, get a green card, and then like 2 years later, they'll have an actual
like the wedding and
proposal
kind of
and everything.
It's just a logistical sort of agreement, you know? Yeah. Like a marriage license is really just a piece of paper.
Exactly.
If you treat it that way.
But
both,
like,
people have to be on the same page with that.
It was, oh yeah, exactly. And I thought that he was, and then as soon as we got married, he like would only introduce me to people as his wife, like things like that. And it was so overwhelming for me.
Did you have any friends who were like, "What are you doing?" Mm-hmm. Or did they all think like, "Well, we want her to stay here."
Yeah,
so.
I think a lot of them now that. Like afterwards have come to me and been like, I was like thinking, what are you doing? But I didn't feel like I could say anything.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, in that kind of situation, the green card thing does present like it's such a practical need.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you got to get that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and that's the only way to do it.
And like at the time, I really did think that I was in love with him.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh yeah, this will definitely be the best plan.
Yeah.
And then basically as soon as we got married, it was just like, I mean, all of these different emotions around like gender, sexuality, like my ideas about what it is that I want to do with my life. Like all of these things just came like crushing, like crashing into me and like crushing me. And I was like, oh my God, I don't want to be a wife. I don't want to be married to this man. I realized like pretty soon after I was like, I'm not even attracted to him. Like,
did he want kids with you?
You know, we didn't really talk about it a ton, but he definitely did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really, really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so basically what happened is that as soon as we got married, pretty much he got into graduate school at Yale in New Haven.
Yeah.
And so he had to move out there and really wanted me to move with him. And I was like, no, I'm going to stay here. And so he moved away and I continued to like spend time with him up there, but like not that often.
Yeah.
And I really got into like the queer performance scene in like the Brooklyn drag scene
and
kind of started being like, this is like where I feel at home. I had been like out to a lot of my friends as bisexual. Like I even told my husband that I was bisexual.
Yeah.
And he was kind of like, hot, great, fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then as soon as I started spending time in like actual queer spaces, I was like, oh no, this is like my whole identity. No, this is not, like, I don't want to be in a relationship with a man. And so I started to kind of have those feelings and feel like extremely depressed and be like, oh my God, what have I done with my life? Also, it feels from the outside of the queer community when you are like have presented as straight for so long, I'm like a femme presenting person, mm-hmm. even still, it feels like an insurmountable task almost to come out and be like accepted by mm-hmm. the community. Like I had a friend's like ex who would like talk about lesbianism as though it was like there are lesbians and there are straight people and yeah. there's nothing in between.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, I've like had sex with men before that I enjoyed, so I definitely can't be queer. Like I can't be gay.
Yeah.
And so, and that now I realize is like so untrue.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And like there are so many different reasons why I thought that I was straight. And a lot of it has to do with like our misunderstandings around sexuality and misunderstandings around like even like gender presentation. Mm-hmm. Like I was always attracted to like masculinity. And now I'm like, oh, that's like your attraction to butch women. Mm-hmm. Like that's actually not what, because you never. I was always attracted to men when we were like kids. And then as soon as we got older, I was like, what the fuck's with these guys? Well, you all got beards. What the hell's going on? And I was, it was very confusing for me. Yeah. I was like, why don't you all look like Jonathan Taylor Thomas still? I'm very upset. And so it was very, it was really, really overwhelming. And like, I eventually like came out again to him basically. And like, was like, I really want to have relationships with women. And at the time, because we were living separately, he was like, okay, well, we can be in an open relationship. And I was like, absolutely, great. And at the time, I was already like pursuing this woman who was working near me at a bar.
Uh-huh.
And I like made a whole feminist book club just so we could hang out.
Oh my God.
Oh my, isn't that the gayest thing you've ever heard? I made a feminist
literally
book club,
right?
Just so I could seduce a woman.
That sounds like something I would have done.
Yes, absolutely. Right?
And then the day after I convinced him to be in an open relationship, I had like the big feminist book club get together and I ended up having a threesome with the woman that I was like obsessed with and just another random woman.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Because I was like, because they had hooked up before and I had found out about that and was like, wait, what? And then I think that she basically like brought this other girl into it and was like, I really want to sleep with all of you. And I was kind of like, whatever.
Yeah.
To get to you, I don't care. And then I thought, and then he found out. I like told him later that week and he was like, shocked.
Is that the day after we had that conversation?
Yes. He was like betrayed and upset and was like, basically like, you're a lesbian. And I was like, I think probably.
Yeah.
And then it took a while, but like a few, we like, that was probably in like November and we had already planned to go home for Christmas to his family in Ireland. So I did that whole trip with him. And then when we came back, we stopped the relationship.
Yeah. Okay.
It was really like sad and hard, but also don't feel badly for him. He like, after that happened, he just continuously like crossed all of my boundaries.
Oh,
like,
no.
Yeah. So like after you, like getting divorced when you have like immigration paperwork involved is not
easy. You
have
to wait.
You have to wait. Yeah. So we had to wait and he would kind of use that to like get me
like
to spend
leverage.
Time with him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like by the time we were getting divorced, he like convinced me to allow him to divorce me because of some like masculinity thing. And I was kind of like, whatever. I don't care. I'm wearing big shirts now. I don't give a shit. And he like he comes to the like fucking plate. We go to this like restaurant near City Hall, and he's supposed to bring all this paperwork that I like essentially filled out for him.
Yeah.
So that we could have like a no contest divorce. Mm-hmm. He shows up and he hasn't filled out any of it. None of it is done, and he's just like, you know, I mean, do you really want this? Like, I really think that like now that I'm done grad school, maybe we can like work this out. And I just screamed at him in this ramen restaurant. I was like, do you understand what it's like to come out later in life and then to have like I can't actually have a relationship with a woman right now because I'm married to you. Do you know what that's like? Like continuing to go on dates with people and like kind of feeling the air being sucked out of the room when they're like, oh, you're still married, mm-hmm. even though we haven't been together for like at that point almost 2 years. So it was like, I flipped out.
Yeah.
I would too.
Yeah. Yeah. And also during a lot of the relationship, he had had like debt that was like, I ended up with the IRS that they continuously took out of my paychecks.
Yeah.
I also paid for a lot of our life together, even though his family is much wealthier than mine.
Yeah. Ugh.
And so it was like this, he's just like a man child who like wanted somebody to look after him and was like, oh, but I wanted you to look after me. Like, can we try to figure this out again?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you not get about, I used to imagine you as a woman when we were having sex. Yeah. Like, what do you not understand?
What do you not get about, I imagined you as Helen Hunt and Twister.
Yeah.
Wow. Would he like try to, like engage sexually with you after you kind of established like, yeah, I'm not interested in having sex with you.
You know, I think he would try to engage romantically with me more than sexually. I think he like knew he didn't want to be, he, you know, he's one of those like artsy guys who's like, well, I don't want to push anyone's boundaries. I'm a male feminist. And I'm like, oh, that's funny. You think that you're a male feminist when you continuously push my boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
He literally told me that when we were getting divorced after we filed the paperwork. He said, thank you for making me into the feminist that I am today. And I said, don't tell people that.
No, never.
It's like, don't tell people that, babe.
That's like that, the nice guy thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so bad. I hate the nice guy thing.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
It was horrific.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that happened. Wow. And it was like, I went through a long period of time of just like working on myself and like being in intensive therapy and like going on antidepressants and like trying to figure out what my emotional life is even like, now that I was like coming to terms like with myself a little bit more. And I kind of feel like that time really helped me to become more emotionally well, because you know, like when you're repressing like a whole side of yourself, it's like all of a sudden everything starts to make sense. You know what I mean? It's like all of a sudden your entire life, you just see it as like a big movie and you're like, oh, that's what was happening.
Yeah.
But you know who, actually, I really relate to the story of, I don't know if you know this, but the person who started Autostraddle, Reese, her whole coming out story is kind of similar, but she wasn't married, but she talks about like having relationships with men and like being in love with them or like enjoying sex, but then also feeling like there was something missing there in like your entire life and just feeling like, oh my God, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? And then as soon as you come out, you're like, oh, that's what was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, everything. There was just like a wall between me and like life where I felt like everybody could enjoy life and was so like happy and like normal. And I felt like I was the crazy person. I was the person who couldn't actually enjoy what other people enjoyed. And it felt like so scary.
Yeah, that's relatable. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, well, maybe this is just what my life is like, and like contributed to my depression. You know what I mean? Of feeling like alienated from everyone, which I continue to feel. It does not fix, but it helps, you know. It definitely helps.
I don't talk about it too much on the podcast, but Cecilia, my wife, used to be married to a man back in Peru, and it was a guy she'd been with for a while, and she hadn't been with women because she didn't realize that she could be, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly. That's how I felt.
Look,
even now, she's constantly like, I can't believe nobody just pulled me aside and said, you're gay, like when she was younger. And so she was, they got married because she wanted to go to grad school in Canada, where she was a citizen from some time she spent there as a kid. And he wouldn't have been able to go with her
unless they were married.
Unless they were married. So she was like, well, we've been together for this many years, like, let's get married and then we'll go to Canada together. And she went to Canada after they got married, and then he never came.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Why did he not go?
He just didn't. I think he was scared of having to start a new life in, in another country.
Wow.
So he never came. Well, and then she was like, well, I guess I'm divorcing you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, even though it was like a shitty and like very painful thing for her at the time, but then, you know, that freed her up when she got divorced to realize like that she actually wasn't really into men.
Yeah.
That wasn't what she wanted. And
yeah, it's a thing.
But
it's a total thing.
Yeah.
I mean, when I came out to my little brother, I remember he just said, he was like, yeah, I thought like everybody knew that. And I was like, what do you mean? I didn't know that. Yeah. Why didn't you tell me? Right, right. What about moi?
Nobody said that to me.
But my parents don't feel that way at all. They're like so surprised by it.
Really?
Yeah. I think probably because I like had boyfriends, but most of the, I mean, honestly, I had boyfriends in high school because of an incident where like the first time, man, I can't believe we're getting into this. The first time that I ever had like any kind of sexual experience, a man like groped me at, who was like 10 years older than me on like a camping trip and like assaulted me and I punched him.
Good.
And my best friend at the time, like it was her step brother's friend. And so she was very upset because she wanted to have a relationship with him. And I remember her yelling at me and being like, you're such a freeze. Like, I don't know why you won't just like hook up with men. Because already at that point in time, I was 14 and most of my friends had already had sex at like 13.
Oh my God.
And she was like, I don't know why you won't hook up with men. You're probably a lesbian or something. And I was like, ding, ding, ding. Gotta get a boyfriend now.
Yeah.
I mean, something.
Gotta stop wearing these Nirvana shirts.
Yeah.
That I got at Hot Topic.
Yeah. Like, I always felt a little bit of pressure to sort of like, I always had these like faux crushes on boys. Like, these sort of they were performative, I would say. Crushes on boys, like, oh, I like him, but I would only like boys that, like, I thought realistically I could get if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. So there was like the tall, dumpy, like the Joey Fatones of my of my class, and all my friends were going after the Justin Timberlakes. But I was like, I'm a realist.
Yeah,
and but like, never any sort of like boys didn't like me. Like it wasn't there, but that was just sort of performatively me, sort of like, kind of paying my dues to like stay in the club, you know, like of like, oh yeah, I like this boy. Yeah. Oh, he's cute. You know, like
same exact thing for me.
Yeah. I was always pretending.
And I had a friend who I remember in the seventh grade, because I was one of the only ones in the group who hadn't made out with a boy yet. And I had like a sixth grade boyfriend or whatever, but we like maybe kissed on the mouth once, but never made out with anybody. And she was like, Carolyn, if you don't make out with anyone soon, you're going to be a lesbian. And I was like, oh,
I was wrong to know that. Girls weaponize that term to each other as kids, for sure. Like, that was the worst thing you could be called.
Yeah. I was on
a mission. Now every teen is like, I'm queer. And if you're not, you're a loser.
Oh, my God. I have this dream of remaking Never Been Kissed, the Drew Barrymore movie.
Yeah.
But as a woman who goes back to high school and she gets to be gay.
Yeah.
That's my dream.
All the high school kids are gay now.
Exactly.
Like doing drugs. Queer. I'm like,
I'm juuling. And I'm like, if I had had that in high school, I would have been immediately like, yeah, definitely me too.
Yeah.
Ugh, I wish. But instead it was like, oh no, I can't be seen as this lesbian. So it was more like a video game for me. I was like, I need to find, like, unlock the code to get the makeouts and be able to do
it
this.
It was sort of like it was kind of like that. Like a video game was like, getting my little coins in Mario, you know, Super Mario Brothers.
Well, it's like the social validation of
it. It is, you know? It was social capital that you were sort of, like, clinging on to at that age.
Which then my first time making out with a boy was, like, disgusting. Because, one, it was a man, and I have no idea how old he was. And I think I was, like, 17 and had a fake ID and went to this club with my friends and just, like, some guy on the dance floor who was, like, had his hands, like,
gross.
In all the inappropriate places, like on the dance floor. And I was like, well, I guess he wants to make out with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here I go, man whose age I cannot discern.
And never tell.
And then years later, you're standing behind him and his son at the line at the TKTS booth.
Yeah.
Right? Oh my God.
No, this guy wasn't white.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely had relationships with men that I enjoyed and that like I legitimately was in love with and like that I think are, that I like, it's very hard for me a lot of the time to like decipher what my sexuality is like best explained as, because right now I feel like I'm queer and I identify with the words dyke and lesbian and all these things because I don't want to have any relationships with cis men anymore because I've realized that it doesn't actually like, the like sexual component of it is like very tenuous for me. Like I have to have a really emotional relationship with them for sex to be fun and great.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's why I tried to have a lot of like casual sex when I was younger was because with men, because I was like, well, I need to crack this code. Mm-hmm. I don't enjoy this, but everybody else does. I need to figure this out.
Mm.
And then I feel like, that my relationships with men that I've had that I have enjoyed, it's been like completely emotional in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And now I just feel like, no, like my identity and like, they'll never, I don't know. My therapist said to me a few years ago, she was like, I just think that you can't date anyone who's not queer also.
Right.
And I was like, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're absolutely
that might be
right.
True. Yeah, definitely. I could see that.
Actually, she said that to me like when I was married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
It was probably like 4 or 5 years
Therapists
ago.
Always just cut through the bullshit, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how has your family reacted to all of this?
You know, they were so upset when I was getting a divorce. I think
did they form an attachment to your ex-husband? Mm-hmm,
they definitely did. And I really think they formed an attachment to the idea of me being married.
Yeah.
Because my life is so different than theirs. Like there's never been anybody in my family besides like one cousin who's had any sort of career in the mm-hmm. arts. Most of the people in my family are longshoremen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they're like, we don't get that. We don't understand that, but they love it. They're like very proud of me and all of these things. But it's definitely like my life is very different than theirs. Mm-hmm. And they also could, I think, kind of feel that I was like moving in like queer circles like before I even got divorced.
Yeah.
So I feel like they were kind of like, what's going on? What is this?
Yeah.
And then as soon as I did get divorced, like it was very hard on them. I think that for them, being married is like a sense of security.
Yes. Yeah.
And yeah. then to not have that anymore, they're well, like, well, what is our daughter
in
doing?
General is just yeah. very much like, that's okay, now you're good.
Yeah.
You know, like, and they see that the marriage means something very different to them than it does for us.
And so. Probably they felt like they could relate. They're like, oh, this is something relatable
exactly.
about this person.
My mom yeah. said that to yeah. me too. My mom said that to me when I was getting a divorce. She was upset and she was like, you know, it's hard for me because like, you being married was one of the things that I could relate to you on.
Yeah.
And we, you know, and I understand that for her. I like yeah. really, I don't like blame her for that at all, but it was very hard for me to hear that.
Yeah,
I was
totally.
Very like, it very much felt like, okay, now I'm like abandoning everything that I've ever known. And I'm like very much alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was hard.
Man, was there anything else about the topic you want to talk about?
I think just being, I mean, I, there was something that I wanted to relate to you on about this.
Yeah.
Is just the idea of being a divorcee.
Yes.
Like, I've had so many people say to me, like, oh, like, reclaiming that for myself because my marriage isn't really something that I want to share a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Or I didn't for a while. And now I feel very open about it. And I feel like talking about it, like, in my life and in my art. But it's definitely really fun for me to, like, reclaim the word divorcee and be like, yeah, I'm a young, hot divorcee. I'm like, yeah. whatever, this is me. Yeah.
I was in a marriage that I did want to be in.
Yeah.
And the divorce at the time was hard, but obviously like in retrospect and, you know, shortly after it was over, I was like, oh my God, this is so much better. And being a comedian, being able to laugh at it.
Mm-hmm.
And because at first when you're going through it, it's just like, it's such a stigmatized thing. Also, did you have a big wedding or no? You just
went to City Hall and we had friends over at our like apartment.
Okay.
Yeah. So we did have people over and like we took pictures and all that shit.
Yeah.
But we didn't have a huge wedding now.
I had so much shame around the fact that I had a very nice wedding and was like, they're going to just remember that day as a lie, you know? And my ex-wife said, you know, it's okay that we had a great wedding. Like, yeah, this isn't working, but that doesn't mean that our wedding wasn't awesome. And it was, and you know, who cares? Get over it. And I was like, okay, you're right. Like I shouldn't let
straight
all
people
these
do
outside
that all
things.
The time.
Yeah.
Straight people get married for no reason all the time.
Yeah.
And they have big weddings cause they know it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
So my mom said that to me once, like the bigger the wedding, the more likely they're going to get divorced. And I think it's true.
Yeah. I also get surprised when I see straight people having like big second weddings.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, never. After the first one, like Cecilia and I eloped and we had like this beautiful elopement and it was the best thing ever and I'm obsessed with it. But I couldn't imagine having like another big wedding the second time around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you shouldn't care what people think, but also the judgment in the room would be
overwhelming.
Yeah.
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 Right? It'd be like, yeah, we've been through this before.
Yeah.
And know that people are comparing the first wedding to the second one. I'm like, no, I don't want anything to do with that.
Even though I didn't have a big wedding, I still kind of feel like I wouldn't have a big wedding.
Yeah.
I feel like I would definitely go and get eloped if I ever do get married again.
Well, I know a great place. in the desert of New Mexico.
Wow.
It's lovely. Yeah. And anybody who's listening and like wants a big second wedding, do it.
Do for queer people, you should do it for sure.
For queer people, yes.
But say fuck you.
Yeah.
You're gonna come here eat from the same buffet. I don't give a shit.
Like do whatever you want. Do what makes you happy. is the most important thing. Okay, now it's time for our listener question. Is it acceptable within the LGBT community to be aeroflux? I recently found this term of feeling some sort of romantic attraction, but it varies a lot. So this is, you know, pulled from the bigger context of the question. This listener was nice enough to put the definition of aeroflux in here because I had never heard of it.
Me neither. I've never heard of it. So say the definition again. It's that you're...
So the definition is a romantic orientation on the aromantic spectrum and is defined as someone whose romantic orientation fluctuates but always stays on the aro spectrum. Example, one day you're demiro, the next year lithro, the next day aero, etc. So just to be clear, this person who wrote in seems to already identify as queer. So I guess they're just asking if it's okay to be queer and aeroflux. And I will say yes. I mean, because I don't...
Can we go over what those terms mean quickly? The yes. demi row and all that, and arrow. It's on the asexual spectrum, correct?
No.
No?
Okay. So asexual has to do with sex, but aromantic is like the opposite of asexual. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't have a need for forming a romantic kind of connection with somebody, that you're perfectly happy not being in a relationship.
But you enjoy sex?
But you can enjoy sex.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like we have these definitions to kind of describe, I guess, how we engage with people. And those can change and evolve over time, or they can be, you know, very set. There are some people that realize very quickly that they're asexual, and that's something that they need to make clear when they're dating and engaging with people. And all of those things exist both in the queer and the straight community.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see why that wouldn't be okay within the context of being LGBTQ.
Oh, for sure. But I mean, I think the specific question is asking whether or not your identity can fluctuate. And I think that absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, a term like aeroflux makes a lot more sense because it, yeah, things change.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's absolutely fine. I think you just need to be very communicative with people.
Yeah.
If you have like an alternative idea about what type of relationship you would like, I think that you need to be very clear with people about what kind of relationship you'd like just in general, even if you're not aromantic or asexual.
Yeah. And if it changes, you know, I'm not aromantic. I don't know if it changes depending on the person or depending on kind of like where you are in between relationships or how you relate to people and how you engage with people. So, yeah. And, you know, the key to all this stuff is just communicating. But it is different, or not different. It's interesting how a lot of these terms and kind of like micro terms within the terms that people are really looking for to find these labels that fit exactly what they're describing.
Which I actually kind of personally think we don't need.
Yeah.
I just hope that we, yeah, I mean, I feel very much as somebody whose label has changed so many times, I think it's so important to have labels, but to kind of have a sense of humor about them in a way.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I feel very comfortable using a lot of different terms because I feel as though these terms describe me, but also I don't see them as like finite definitions.
Yeah.
Like for example, the word dyke. I think that word has like moved and changed so much.
Oh yeah.
The word queer. Like these are words that used to be used as slurs. So sure. Like why can't they mean exactly what I want them to mean to
exactly.
me?
Exactly.
Yeah. But I want to go back to the terms. There was demiro and what was the other one? Light row?
Lithro.
Lithro? What does lithro mean? Because I'm assuming demiro is maybe you're like partially romantic,
just
partially
every other day.
Every other day.
No.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm.
Let me see what Lith.
Like John Lithgow? Like like Lithro?
You only have romantic feelings for John Lithgow.
Honestly, more power to you.
It describes romantic attraction without the desire for reciprocation.
Okay.
So it's... and the experience may include feeling romantic attraction that fades upon being reciprocated. Well, that sounds like a lot of people I know.
Yeah. Honestly, this person, I don't want to make judgments, but they sound kind of avoidant. Like, yeah, I think that all these terms are useful, but I think also that, you know, you just have to be very clear with people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that, you know, we want to move to a space where labels aren't that important, where we're not being boxed in by labels and dichotomies and things like that. And yet, meanwhile, we're creating even more labels more than ever, so that we can find something that feels like it relates more to us, because so many words can mean so many different things. And it's honestly, you know, just whatever works for you.
Yeah. See, I love these micro labels, but I just think that you should never skip over a conversation because of a label, if that makes sense. Like, a label doesn't fully describe what you're looking for in a relationship or like your sexual history ever.
Yeah.
So I kind of dislike when people use them for shorthand as like, this is the end of the conversation or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
and it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
What? What do you mean?
Yeah.
I want to hear more about this.
Right, right. Because there's a lot of nuance within that. And
and
it differs, again, from person to person, how we use these labels. What one person's asexual experience is very different from another person's. So hopefully that helps. But it's all good. It's all good. It's the summary.
Aromantic sounds like my type, but I'm kidding. I hope it's not. No, it is sometimes though. God, I have problems with dating. Nothing to do with anything in my past.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
Doesn't
at
sound
all.
Like it at all.
Yeah,
no.
Nothing we talked about on this episode would lead me to believe that it's all related
for me. No, not at all. No.
Where can people find you on social media?
My Instagram and Twitter right now is at Tessa Scara. That's a Scara with a K.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you have anything coming up that you'd like to plug? Any shows?
Yeah. So I have a monthly show called High Notes that I'm bringing back.
Yay!
That I was not doing over the summer just to take a little break.
Sure.
But we're going to be doing a show on August 31st at a backyard in Williamsburg that will be a private kind of DMing situation probably. Actually, I think I'm probably going to be able to post the address. But it's going to be lit. We have like a lot of comedians, a lot of like queer comedians, a band who plays with me and I sing stuff.
Amazing.
And there's going to be like drinks, probably food. I also make weed edibles that are for sale at the party always.
Nice.
High Notes, you know, you got to be able to. Also, my literal parents will be there. So it'll be fun for everyone. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Your ex-husband won't be there.
My ex-husband will not be there, although he does live in New York again, and I'm very scared of running into him at an audition because he is an actor.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I have this like recurring dream where we're like paired together to like read for a part or something. And
that's
he, like,
gonna happen.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
It will. And it will be bad. Uh-huh. I actually ran into his friend the other day who I haven't seen, his like best friend who I hadn't seen in like 5 years. And he was like, Tessa, like I follow you on Instagram and I watch all your stories. And I was like, don't say that. And then he was like, it looks like comedy's going so well. And I literally said, yeah, I'm super successful. So now we got to make that a reality. Like,
it is. You're going to be on High Maintenance. Yeah. Check out that episode.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good part, right?
Yeah, it's a great part. Actually, it's my first queer character. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'm very happy about that.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we'll be sure to watch for that. And you can follow us at Dyking Out on everything. You can go to patreon.com/dykingout if you want to get merch and extra episodes that we have. And sometimes we'll throw up some of the conversations we have that don't make the podcast with our guests. So you can catch that there. And also come to our Stonewall show. Follow me on Instagram at EveryGaySusan. Also at TGICarolyn.
I'm at the Sarah York.
And thank you for dyking out. Dyke out with us again next week.
Bye. Bye.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.